from Church Planting Online, it's Taking Flight, a show about lead pastors and the stories behind the churches they've planted. Taking Flight is powered by New Thing, a catalyst for movements of reproducing churches. To learn more, visit my friends over at newthing.org. Welcome to episode 6. My name is John Peacock. Thanks so much for checking out this podcast. We have been on an awesome journey over the past 6 months. I've been able to interview and have some great conversations about how to get a church plant from the laboratory to liftoff. We call this Taking Flight because we want these conversations to really help you, the church planter, see your church move in the direction that we believe you've been dreaming of. Today's conversation is with a good friend of mine named Jody Hickerson. She and her husband Mike, along with an amazing team, planted Mission Ventura 6 years ago. Let's not delay any further. Here is episode 6 featuring the one and only Jody Hickerson. Jody, so yes. Glad that you're on the show. And
thank you.
It's been cool to really see your journey in church planting. And as one of the founders of what I would call the more tropical, cooler version of Mission Church.
Yes.
How long have you guys been at this now?
Let's see. We launched in September of 2011. We moved to Ventura 9 months before that. And, you know, prayed about it a year before that. So it feels like forever.
Yes.
But the church will turn 6 in September.
And so you've been at this for a little while. The people listening to this podcast, a number of them are thinking about, all right, should I actually step out of the boat? Should I really do this? And I would love for you to kind of take us back. Your church has been such an incredible success in so many ways. You guys have been faithful. You have an amazing team. Hope for everyone is like really happening for everyone that comes through your doors. So many things have been like really, really good. So people could see you guys now and be like, it's easy. I mean, look at how amazing everything has gone. So take us all the way back, knowing what you know now. What do you wish you could have told yourself back then in maybe early 2011?
Okay. Well, one of them would be, this is not going to be a fun one for anyone. Raise more money. Fundraising is awkward and hard, or it was for me. Maybe it's not for everyone. I had a hard time asking people to support something that didn't have a name. You know, there were no people there, and it was just like a dream, you know, something God had given us. And it was like, I think it's going to be great, you know, like you should sacrifice for this. And it was hard. It was a hard thing for me until, you know, people had names and stories and faces and we had started. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have no qualms asking people now for money to invest in what's happening here because God's doing something here. So I think I wish I had believed it more. Like God's going to do something here and there's going to be people's lives that are changed and it is so worth it. So I did a lot of fundraising after launch.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I haven't stopped fundraising. Like I have no problem now going to churches or organizations and saying like, hey, God's doing crazy awesome things here. Here's where we're at. We really need 2 cameras to put video in our lobby, you know? But I do, and people have come through. Like it's been awesome to see churches step out of the box and go, wow, you're 4 years old or, you know, and you're not launching and you want us to support you. And they've done it though. It's been really cool. But I wish that prior to launch, you know, we wouldn't have had to probably do that if we had raised enough money before. You want a 4-year plan is what I think. I would probably say that we've learned that, evangelism looks a lot like hospitality. In your church, I'm talking like, you know, everything from what you're printing on sign, what people see, everything that's printed or hung or said, all of the verbiage, but also just the atmosphere of being welcome and wow. not pointing people to Connection Point or whatever you call that place, but walking them to it, mm-hmm. not telling them the kids' room's around the corner to the right, but walking them to it. It's like hosting, you know, like someone walked into your house so and you're going to show them. So that what we've heard over and over, like, why have you stayed at Mission? And the number one answer is it feels like home. Wow. And it's like, we don't really know how to quantify home other than somewhere from street to seat and the whole experience, they feel so welcomed. And I think that extends also beyond just the Sunday experience, but that hospitality in, if you have a facility, which that doesn't always happen, we ended up having a 24/7 facility after 1 year, which was crazy. The movie theater we were meeting in moved and they were going to board up. And so we got to go in there full time, which was a blessing, but realizing like this is an opportunity to be hospitable to, we've opened the doors every day of the week for NA and AA meetings and
I love that.
Foster care and, things that we're passionate about and want people to feel, we want addicts to feel welcome walking into Mission, you know, every day of the week. And then it's like, maybe I'll show up at this place at some point and encounter Jesus would be the main thing. And then, that extends also to the parties that we've thrown in the community, which,
so is it true you have like that's someone's job? They're like your party thrower.
Yes, Jen Oakes is our chief party thrower. That is her whole
chief. She's the CPT. Yes. Tell us about the CPT.
Yeah, well, she does a lot of wooing. She's very
she has woo.
Yeah, she's like woo. Yeah.
Oh, a lot of that wooing.
Yes, a lot
okay,
of that guy wooing. She's amazing. She kills it. She does such a great job. So the main parties that we throw are we do movie nights in the park every summer. Free Friday flicks is what we call them, and they're just free for the community.
Awesome.
So there's no strings attached. She organizes that, but it's become a thing where the community shows up and goes like, I can't believe this is free. Like, this is, the face painting's better than the fair. The, you know, she really goes to say like, we really want to make this like something that you are going to be surprised that it's so well done, and volunteers are everywhere and bounce houses and, you know, the whole thing, like a huge party that's free, with no strings attached. So, we love that. And then Night to Remember is our special needs prom. Mm-hmm. And, we came from
place. You do a prom for special needs
students. Their ages 12 to 25. And we got this idea when we worked in Kentucky years ago and just kind of brought it with us. So even we are 6 months old. So you may think like, oh, you have to be a big church to pull something like that off. We were 6 months old, like, we're going to do this. Like, let's try this. And open registration and through this party, the first year we had 60 special needs guests and a couple hundred volunteers. This year we have over 400 special needs guests and 2,000 volunteers. So, and that's bigger than our church. So the community is like, this is the best party in the county. Like this, and what they don't realize, maybe they will someday, why they love it so much is they see heaven touch earth in this amazing way.
Yes.
But again, it's that hospitality's evangelism. We're opening this party to say welcome. Like, and I think we've learned that was huge. Like,
incredible.
Super huge. Yeah.
You're making me want to start crying right now.
I did tear up a little.
I did, you know, and I've seen some of the pictures online and there's shifting gears a little bit. There's one of my favorite proverbs. It's an African proverb. I can't prove that it's legitimately an African proverb, but it says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And tell us about the together factor, the team factor of Mission Ventura.
Yeah, I would say that we were unique in that three couples, so there were six of us that planted together. And even when we went through assessment, which, if you're thinking about taking flight, go through assessment. It was awesome.
Did you do that with
CPAC?
CPAC,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you feel like you paid for someone to x-ray your soul, but then you're like really grateful you did it at some point.
Thank you for the ulcer.
Thank you. Yeah. But that was unique. Like, I think even assessment was like, whoa, the whole team of you is coming together. And we were best friends, and a lot of people said, do not plant with your best friends. You guys will hate each other in 2 years. We just decided that our friendships and our unity was so important that we were going to fight for it. So we weren't going to let cracks become canyons. We were going to address conflict quickly. Nothing was going under the rug, and that just became our culture. And it still is. And it's like when you have best friends that aren't afraid to call each other out, I mean, it's pretty fun.
That's incredible.
So the team has been pretty amazing. I heard someone say once, and I can't verify this quote, but if you get to do something meaningful with your life, and just, you know, amazing with your life, like that's beyond yourself, if you get to do that with people that you love, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like I'm getting to be a part of with these, you know, our team. We love, we like to hang out after work. We're like,
Isn't that awesome?
Like to be, we become family. But I would say that proverb is so true. I mean, there's a myth out there that lead planters can't have close friends, you know, that pastors' wives can't get close to anyone because there's this protected of the image of the family. It's like, that's all crap, if I can say crap. That's just image management is just not it. I mean, you got to have people, got to have people that know you. I sit at the fire pit every Wednesday night with friends that know all of it, you know, and they know if we've gotten into an argument, they know, you know, they know our stuff, and you need a place to be real. That team though, dynamic, like going beyond the six of us and kind of inviting people in, I think that our staff team is rather large for the size church we are.
Out of curiosity, how many staff do you have?
So we have, it's kind of hard to, we have 16 in a staff meeting. But let's see, we have 4 full-time paid staff, 2 part-time paid staff, no, 3 part-time paid staff. So everyone else is a volunteer staff member that doesn't make any money at Mission or is a resident that has fundraised their salary. So we just learned really early, like one of the values that Mike put up on the board was, what can't a volunteer do?
Oh, that's good.
So it was like, could a volunteer teach? Yeah, with enough training and gifting, and yes, a volunteer can. You know, so that whole what can't a volunteer do allowed us to, I mean, our volunteer staff have mission emails, they have job descriptions, they have check-ins with our associate pastor every week, they have real responsibilities, they have to ask time off, and they don't make money. So
all right, this is so good. This is gold right now. So guys that are listening, please, please pay attention to what Jody is saying. And hopefully Mike Hickerson is listening to this. And so if so, feel my high five. What can't a volunteer do? That is intentional culture shaping. So often, and I know I've been there as a planter, you're like, well, I don't have the budget to hire X, Y, and Z. And I love the innovation of saying, well, no, we're going to have volunteer staff. Who says you have to be paid in order to love something and to do great work? This is really good stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, our volunteer staff, obviously, we don't take advantage of them, but they choose, like, how many hours they want to give to Mission a week.
Wow.
And then those are their hours. But they're at staff meetings, and they're involved. And volunteer staff right now leads our college-age ministry. We have a volunteer staff that's on worship. We have our chief party thrower's volunteer staff. I am a volunteer staff member.
Really?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So we have a resident that leads our student ministry that's fundraised his salary. So it has become a culture of people going, our pastoral care team, volunteer staff members.
Wow.
You know, they work at LinkedIn. They work at the YMCA. They're nannies. You know, they're stay-at-home moms. But they want to give some of their best hours of the week to Mission.
And they're in that staff meeting. And
yeah,
that's why when I ask the question, how many are on staff, like, well, how many are paid and how many are on staff is a different question. I love that.
Yeah. So
I love, and that's part of the team. If you want to go far, go together. And so obviously it started with the six of you that moved from, you know, Illinois, Rockford, all the way out there. But then that circle has expanded. Some mm-hmm. are paid, most aren't. Yeah. Really incredible.
Yeah, that's cool. It's very cool.
So let me ask you this. One thing I've wanted to ask you this for a long time. I don't know why I didn't email it, but now that we're here, let me ask it. So what's it like co-founding a church with your husband? Like, what has that been like? I think there's a lot of, like, you and Mike are so gifted in different mm-hmm. ways. And my hunch is there's some people listening to the podcast right now where both the husband and wife are really gifted, but they're like, I'm not sure. Like, what has some of that journey been like for you guys?
Oh, man. I think that journey probably started, you know, a long time ago before mission. And that's probably true for if someone's listening that has that in them. We've just been a team since the beginning. We were a team in student ministry. I mean, it's so amazing to me. Like, when I married young, I lived in Kentucky. So, I mean, I wasn't 16, but I was 20. And I didn't realize, like, I realized the gift Mike was to me, and I had fallen in love with him, but I didn't realize what a gift it was to marry someone who cares about your opportunities and seeing your dreams fulfilled more than his own, and really wow. cheering you on in that. And then I hope that I get to be the same for him. Wow. But yeah, I don't report to Mike. That's probably something okay. that's practical to say.
Did you ever try to do that?
No, we okay. would not try that. That would not be good.
Okay. So, you know that wouldn't work.
Yeah, yeah, we know that wouldn't work and wouldn't be good. And so, I mean, I think that there's definitely dynamics. But the thing about, like, I could call Mike out on something that may feel awkward, like in a meeting. But the thing about our team is all of us could. So it doesn't feel wow. as awkward because there's the culture of, like, you
know, he's not untouchable. So
yeah.
To speak.
Yeah. Like, we're all going to speak into this. And if we disagree, we're going to say that we disagree. So that's probably taken away some of the, like, ooh, his wife just called him out, you know,
because
it's like everybody can call each other out and right. it works that way. Definitely, we've just had to become a team. It hasn't been perfect. I mean, there's home, kids, balance, which I think is a unicorn and doesn't exist, balance. But prioritizing is something you can do. Mm-hmm. And arranging your life and schedule is something you can do for the best impact.
NWC Media and Marketing propels local and national brands forward. Get noticed by getting your name and brand out there with the guys at NWC. Visit nwc.media/takingflight for a special offer to listeners of this podcast. I highly recommend these guys. They do incredible work. Once again, that's nwc.media/takingflight.
Why do you love the church?
Oh, man. I love mission because of the people. You know, that's the church is the people, you know that. But we prayed before mission started for messy, broken, far from God people addicted to show up, and they did. And then we were like, oh, dear Lord, send us some Christians. We need help yes. so bad taking care of these people. And so what I love about mission is that, I mean, every week, just the stories of just people so far from God, so broken, walking in with the craziest histories and stories, and also people that have chosen mission to be their church because they know they can walk alongside somebody like that and pour out that I just love it. It's yeah. like the coolest thing. So it just feels like there's a whole tribe of pastors within mission that are also praying for those people that need Jesus to walk through the doors. And it doesn't feel like, you know, it's on our staff to, you know, go manage every situation and help every broken person. Mm. It's like, man, I've got somebody for you to meet. And I that's like my favorite thing. I love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool that, you know, both you and I are this way where, you know, our dads, we grew up in yeah. our dad's ministry, and yet we love the church so much. And I know your mom and dad very well. And not only are they incredible, godly, wonderful leaders, and they've built some amazing things, but maybe the best thing they ever built was your family. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's a really incredible thing. My dad, in a very similar way. And so I just love that that's been our journey and our experience. And, you know, my hope and prayer for those that are listening as well right now is don't only focus on building this church plant and seeing your church plant take flight. Like, don't get something off the ground. And when you look back and you see your family still on the runway.
Yeah.
Could you speak to maybe just a few things that you and Mike have done over the past 6 years as you've seen Mission get off the ground in a beautiful, amazing way, but also I have a hunch that your family has really gotten off the ground with it.
Yeah.
What have you done to do that?
Well, we have not been perfect. We have three daughters. They're 15, 12, and 9 right now. And they have just been a part of it. They're a part of praying about moving. They're a part of starting Mission. They're a part. And I know this may not work for everyone, but we church planted when I was 12. And I think that's when it got in my blood of like setting up those chairs in the YMCA. So our girls jumped in like that. The ownership they feel from Mission Church is unbelievable. So they volunteer every week. They're on me like, Mom, I'm scheduled in Planning Center and you got to get me there. You know, I'm like, okay. Like that's I had awesome. Today off and now I got to take you to two services. You know, they're just in it and they love it so much.
It's not just your thing. It's our
gosh,
thing.
Oh gosh. It is. That's it really is cool. Not at all. I mean, we just did a building campaign and they made their own commitments. They didn't want to do a family commitment. They wanted to do their own. So, they're super invested. I also think we have not, and I know this is going to be age appropriate, but we have not shielded them from the realness of people's stories. And we've experienced some heartbreak. We've experienced overdose. We've experienced losing people, you know, but we've also seen incredible things. And we're not afraid to tell our kids, like that guy has been in jail for 34 years that just was baptized. And that couple, they were separated until 2 weeks ago. And look at what's happening. And I think for me, I want them when they leave our house, which I've only got 3 years left with one. I know she'll go on her own faith journey, but I want her to look back and go, but I saw it.
Yeah.
Like I can't really explain it, but I saw God transform people's lives and set people free. So I don't want them to be able to shake it ever, you know? So I want them to love the church for sure.
Would you just finish up by praying for these up and coming planters?
Oh my gosh. Of course. Yes. Lord, I thank you so much. God, just for every person listening that's processing and praying, God, that you've started something in them. You've just ignited this dream or sparked an idea or this stirring they just can't shake. And God, I just pray they would be able to lean in and discern what's from you. And God, that they would be willing to take the next step in faith, even what they cannot see. And God, trust you for every result. And God, I pray more than anything they would fall deeper and deeper in love with you. Realize that you're the hope of the world, that your son Jesus is everything and nothing is better than him. And pointing people to him is ultimately what this is all about. And so, God, I pray for each of them and I pray your blessing on their lives and on their families in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Taking Flight. To access the show notes as well as a whole bunch of other resources, check out our website, churchplanting.online. In addition to that, you could rate it for us on iTunes. This will help us get the word out for sure. A special thanks to the guys, Daniel Larson, Tom Fowler, and Nathan Weens. Until next month, I'm John Peacock. Thanks so much for listening to Taking Flight.